What is going on, everyone? It's another edition of One on One with John Alba here on Ad Free Shows. You can subscribe every single week and get access to One on One with John Alba at adfreeshows.com. Early access on Thursdays, and of course, every single weekend as well. AFS on youtube.com, dropping on Saturdays. We've been talking to guests from all around the pro wrestling spectrum over the course of the past month or so, and I am so excited to welcome in our guest this week. It's Mr. Fred Ross, Mr. No Days Off himself, formerly known as Darren Young, and he's making his way to go one-on-one with John Alba and all of our fans here on Ad Free Shows. Fred, how are you, man?
Mr. No Days Off is in the house, and I always say, don't die with a story and you tell it. So thank you for allowing me to share my story with you.
Well, that's exactly what we aim to do here on One-on-One. We like to take that more personal dive, get into the why, get into those things that a lot of other people don't really talk about. And I'm very excited to chat with you. You and I have actually had a chance to chat briefly before back in 2018. I was a sports anchor up in New England at the time, and you were working a big time wrestling show in Bangor, Maine. And and it's so funny because I bring that up. It's like a rite of passage that as someone tries to find themselves on the independent circuit again, or whether it's making their way through different major promotions like you have, it's just such a wild journey. And I have to imagine it's been so unpredictable these past few years for you.
You know, it's been a lot of fun. Anytime I do these interviews, I always have fun with the interviewer by saying, don't call me former, because former just for me sounds like washed up or done. You know, for me, my journey in wrestling started, I started 2002, 1 year after 9/11, September 11th, 2002. And my journey has been up and down, good and bad. And, you know, 19 years, I'm still rocking and rolling. I still have a lot left in the tank. And yeah, you know, New Japan Pro Wrestling has always been a bucket list of mine. And now I'm making moves with them now.
And it's so awesome to see what you're doing on Strong. And you have a big weekend of shows coming up, which we will talk about in just a minute here. But I want to dive more into New Japan. This expansion into America comes on this tail end of a really successful time period for New Japan. Some pieces make their way out. The pandemic makes things a little harder to get that cross promotion. So they launch domestically in the United States. What have your thoughts been so far on the project and the roster that New Japan has assembled in America?
Yeah, you know, once my release with WWE happened, I didn't stop grinding. And it was actually Lance Hoyt who I ran into September 2019 at a show in Pomona, California. And he was with New Japan at the time. And he had asked me how I was doing since my release and being on independence. I said, you know, I'm still trying to make moves and everything, but I've always had dreams and aspirations of doing New Japan. So he actually, and I still have it today, he gave me this flyer. And New Japan was running a show November of 2019, and he told me to show up and, you know, see what happens. And me still being a fan of the business, the show started at 7 p.m. I got there at 5 p.m. because I wanted to meet all the wrestlers. I wanted to feel the ambiance. I wanted to feel the ring, because the ring is a lot different than a lot of other promotions I've worked for. And I sat there and I watched New Japan show for the first time at the Globe Theater in Los Angeles. And I said to myself 1,000 times as I was watching a show, do I fit in? Do I fit in? Do I fit in? And after it was all said and done, I said to myself, man, I could hang with these guys. And then that's when I connected with Rocky Romero. And he told me, you know, maybe we can have you down at the dojo for a tryout. And then fast forward to the pandemic in 2020. And I say all the time, when the pandemic hit, I didn't stop. I didn't stop working out. I got creative in the backyard. I didn't just give up on what I always say, health is wealth. I practice what I preach. So I stayed in shape. And when the pandemic was heavy on us, I was contacted by Rocky Romero and New Japan about this opportunity. And At first, I said, no, I said, let me check with my family first, because I wanted to be blessed by them. And they blessed me. They said that they're following all the COVID protocols and stuff like that. So my family blessed me with this opportunity. And I called up Rocky in New Japan. I said, yeah, let's rock and roll. And it was the best decision I've ever made. For me, I was always intimidated in the New Japan style, because I didn't think I could keep up with these guys. But after watching the show, and I said to myself, man, I can hang with these guys. And then we started rocking and rolling in the pandemic.
Why was it that you felt you could assimilate into their locker room culture, into their in-ring style after such a long run? You were with WWE for such a long time and you're taught a certain style. Why did you think I can make this translation?
I'm aggressive in the ring. You know, for me, it's as real as it gets with me. And, you know, with WWE, everything's kind of fast paced. It's a sprint out there. So I was never given the opportunity to really do my thing on my own. You know, I did my thing as a Nexus member. I did my thing as a primetime player. I did my thing with Bob Backlund, but I never really got the stage to do that all by myself in a good way. And New Japan has blessed me with the opportunity to do my thing, you know. And I, you know, Kevin Kelly says it the best about me. Very few can kind of keep up with this motor that I have. And that's the biggest compliment I could ever get from an OG like Kevin Kelly. So you're only as good as your last match. So I've got to keep that momentum going with me.
Mr. No Days Off. It's living the gimmick for you. So you talk about it was something that was in the back of your head that you wanted to get there and work there at some point. Here on the Ad Free Shows Network, we always talk about nostalgia, and we've seen so many great professional wrestlers have stints in New Japan. I just hosted the Kurt Angle show where we talked about how important his run in New Japan was for him. Was there anyone whose path that you ever looked at through what they did in Japan and maybe that interested you?
You mentioned Kurt Angle. He's one of my favorite wrestlers of all time. I remember as an extra years ago when he was with WWE, and I knew the answer, but I asked him a question when he was at ringside before the show. I asked Kurt, you know, if you have an amateur wrestling background, is it good to incorporate it into professional wrestling? And he said, yeah, if you have that amateur wrestling background, it's going to separate you from everyone else. And again, I've always been a big fan of Kurt Angle. When he was doing his Kurt Angle Invitational way back in the day when he was feuding with Shawn Michaels, several times I held his actual gold medals. I was a police officer, and I actually held his gold medals. And there's footage on YouTube. And I remember Kurt saying that I want him to hold my medals because I trust him. He trusted me. So the relationship with Kurt Angle goes way back 2005. So he's been a big inspiration. His match with Yuji Nagata, who recently, if you were here, if we were one-on-one and you were sitting here, I could show you my phone now. I've been watching him and Nagata several times. And that was the first time Kurt had mentioned on the ad-free show that it was the first time that him and Yuji Nagata had actually faced. And it was magic. He said it was one of his best matches ever, not only in Japan, but in the States. So that's my mind frame when I go into my New Japan pro wrestling matches. Uh-oh.
That's okay. You know what? I've had success here. I'll tell you what, Fred. I got this sign. So this sign, and this is good. We can incorporate this. This sign says, yeah, I'll let John Alba back in. I manage on the independent scene, and all my haters, okay, they bring some stuff to the shows. And I said, I'm going to put this right up here on the windowsill. But it apparently took a day off, unlike yourself, and decided to fall. But that's okay. I'd like to get back to your story here.
Hey, John, let your haters be your motivators, all right?
There we go.
Let your haters be your motivators. But, you know, that's, as I was saying before, I get my inspiration from Kurt Angle, one of the best wrestlers in the world. Me, every time I go out there in the ring, you're only as good as your last match, you know? So I go out there constantly, 19 years in the business, nervous as heck, but I always want to have match of the night. I'm competing with some of the best wrestlers in the world, New Japan Strong. So I'm trying to keep up with these guys, the likes of Jay White, Okada, who's going to be rocking and rolling in San Jose. I'm trying to keep up with these guys, and I'm just trying to do my thing.
That's what I wanted to bring up, because it feels like when you incorporate talent who are legendary, I mean, Okada is a legend. There is no doubting that. And there are people like Jay White who are on that path, that trajectory. How much do you feel that pressure to have to elevate your game, even for doing it as long as you have?
It's like my sickening work ethic, if I don't put that pressure on myself, I've got to put that pressure on myself. Because if I don't, I won't perform at the top level. So I've got to put that pressure on myself. I've got to be in shape. I've got to stay ready so I don't have to get ready. And when I got the call from New Japan during the pandemic, I was ready. And they gave me the opportunity. And, you know, it's a funny story. When my family and I were watching the Olympics, they were always rooting for USA. And I was always rooting for Japan. My family was saying, why are you always rooting for Japan? Japan was the first to put me on the marquee before WWE ever did. So it's like a loyalty. I'm still loyal to WWE, but my loyalty right now as we speak lies with New Japan Strong. And for them to put me on the marquee before WWE means the world to me.
It's a really special thing. And you've got a few marquee matches coming up here. Battle in the Valley, San Jose, November 13th. Big, big 10-person tag against Team Filthy. And then just a couple days later, you have a chance in Riverside to take on Filthy Tom Lawler one-on-one, looking to become the second open weight champion. Let's talk about Filthy right now. This is a guy who I think he really is on the precipice of truly breaking out on that next tier level. His intensity, very much like Kurt Angle's that we were talking about. What have your impressions been of him? You had a chance to wrestle him earlier this year. What did you take away from that experience?
Again, when you talk about honors, my biggest honor is getting match of the year with Tom Lawler. And the biggest compliment that he said about me was he would have never thought in a million years that he would step in the ring with Fred Ross or Darren Young. But he said the minute that we touched, he knew it was going to be special. And as you can see, because of Team Filthy, spoiler alert, in Philadelphia a couple weeks ago, they embarrassed me in the ECW arena, and they shaved my head, Team Filthy. So, yeah, I'm sure they got a lot of ha-ha and he-he and laughs in, but they did something, and I'm sure it'll make the internet. They brought my mom into it. My mom is my biggest supporter, and they threatened my mom. They involved her, Team Filthy, and you just don't do that. So at Detonation, November 15th in Riverside, I don't know what kind of mindset I'm going to be in. But I know that I'm going in there to have match of the year again. And this time, I'm taking that open weight championship that belongs to me. It's something that I think about every single day. So, Tom, yeah, you shaved my head. That's cool. You guys, you know, got some good laughs in. But November 15th is going to be my night. I promise you that.
That shoot style, catch style wrestling that Filthy Tom brings in with his MMA background, I'm sure that you've seen a lot more of that as you've come into the world of New Japan and that strong style wrestling. How difficult of a transition was that for you to go from the sports entertainment style that everyone always hears about into this more physical reality-based blend?
John, I don't give a shit what Tom brings. I'm bringing Kareza. Do you know what that means? Kareza, I'm going to be all crazy on his ass November 15th. But when you want to talk about styles, some of my favorites to study, Fit Finley. Fit Finley is as real as it gets. And for me, working in front of a crowd and hearing the crowd say, oh, wow, oh, that looked real. Oh, wow, man, that looked physical. Or seeing the comments on my social media friends that don't watch wrestling but follow my journey, and for them to be like, oh wow, that was pretty physical, that was a great story. And that's my goal. You know it's entertainment what we do, but it is physical as it gets, you know. And my work, there's no see-throughing in my work at all. You know what I mean? I'm gonna bring it to you. And like I said, I keep bringing it back to November 15th at Detonation. You're gonna see me let loose for sure.
We see so many prominent promotions right now getting television, getting access to a lot of eyes here in the United States. And now New Japan wants a fair share of that market. What is something that New Japan can do to capitalize on these eyes that are now saying to themselves, okay, WWE is not the only show in town. There are alternatives. And why should people be paying attention to what you guys are putting on?
When I speak about the different products, I'm never going to be a type of person to say, oh, don't watch WWE. Oh, don't watch Impact. Watch it all. You know, CM Punk, if I can paraphrase something he said, don't get, you know, swerved into picking one organization to watch. Watch it all. I remember as a kid in my living room, my dad had three TVs set up. One TV had Monday Night Raw. The second TV had WCW Nitro. And the third TV had Monday Night Football. So we were watching it all, and still to this day, I follow everything. But for me, it's important, very important, to stay in my lane, because the minute I veer out of my lane, that's where we crash, you know? So my lane is New Japan Strong, and whatever it takes, whether it's doing media, doing these interviews, my social media, which is my open diary to the world. So anything I ever post always comes from the heart with the intent to inspire, motivate and educate the masses that follow me, not because of the stuff, not only just the stuff I do in the ring, but outside of the ring, the advocacy work that I do, you know? So my grind doesn't stop. Again, Mr. No Days Off isn't a gimmick. It's a way of life, constant grind, struggle, and like I say, keeping it moving.
We really aim to delve into the journey here on 101 with John Albon ad-free shows. And you just brought it up, so I feel like this is an excellent way to pivot into this. The Monday Night Wars, that's part of your childhood growing up. It was part of my childhood. Did you have like a big bang moment during the Monday Night Wars that it was like, this is when I knew I wanted to become a pro wrestler?
Oh, man. You know, I'm old, man. How old are you, John?
I'm knocking on 30. I'll put it that way.
Man, I'm old, man. In wrestling years, I just turned 38. Like they say, black don't crack, and health is wealth. But I've been a fan since I came out the womb, man, 1983. And it was something I've always wanted to do. In my high school yearbook, the last sentence said, WWF, here I come. So I wasn't going to take no for an answer. I was told by WWE, from 2003 to 2009, no over 40 times until I got that one yes, May 4th, 2009, when I earned my contract with WWE. And the days of just trying out with being invited by WWE, that's what's happening now. You know, guys get invited for tryouts. When I tried out in May 4th and earned my contract in 2009, I had to pay $2,000 to try out because they wanted serious people. And out of 75 guys and girls from all over the world, I earned my contract with WWE. The same day that I got signed was the same day AJ Lee got signed. She's from Union City, New Jersey. I'm from Union Township, New Jersey. So small world. So this is something I've always wanted to do. And I still have a lot left in the tank. I still have a lot left to offer. I've got another 11 years left in this business. That'll put me at 30 years of wowing the crowd. So I ain't done yet. You ain't going to pull the pull. John, let me tell you this. You ain't going to pull the plug on me and tell me it's over. I'll tell you that right now.
Well, I appreciate it. As someone from Hackensack, I appreciate that. So we got this Jersey tie thing going on, the vibes there.
Hackensack, Teaneck, I went to Fairleigh Dickinson University, baby. Mm-hmm. Hardly home, but always repping.
There you go. 11 years left in the tank, you said you feel. So taking you up until around 50 or so. So.
I'll be 50, I guess. And, you know, people ask me all the time, John, how long can a wrestler wrestle till? You know, they can wrestle in their 30s, 50s, 60s, however long. Just recently, Minoru Suzuki and I shared the ring.
He's amazing.
He's amazing, right? He did an incredible tour, and a lot of people were saying, oh, he had a great showing with Daniel Bryan and this person, that person, and he definitely did. But I feel like out of all the guys that he competed against, I really brought it to him, you know, because before we locked, I did my studying, I did my research on him, and he dominates in the ring. So I had to make sure that I didn't let up, that I had to dominate too, you know what I mean? So I not to toot my own horn, but out of all the guys he shared the ring with when he was here in the States, I felt like I wasn't afraid, and I gave it to him, man. All the footage can be seen on my social media at Real Fred Rosser, my diary to the world. So definitely check it out.
He had an incredible tour. of North America. And that's got to be really special that you were part of that, I would imagine, given what he means to pro wrestling right now. Especially, he's like folklore at this point. And you have a chance to say that I was in that book. I imagine that has to mean something to you.
It means a lot to me because, you know, Mama Rosa didn't raise no punk, you know? So I made sure that I brought it to him. And I tell guys all the time that are starting off in the business, you need the reps. If you're starting off, you need the reps. Not only do you need the reps, but you need to be in the ring with people more experienced than you, you know? Because for me, I didn't lose against him. I just ran out of time. You know what I mean? I don't lose. I either win or I learn. And the experience with Minoru Suzuki, I learned to fight, 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 and don't stop fighting until the bell rings.
Well, you said you got 11 years left in the tank. Well, 11 years ago, the Nexus angle, you got it right there behind you right now.
Yes.
When yeah. when you were
you want to buy this? You want to buy this? I'll sell it for $2,000. I'm just joking. I'm just joking. But yeah, that's one of the original armbands.
How about this, Fred? How about we make a little trade? I offered Kurt Angle this trade for his Olympic gold medal. We can make a little trade here. I'll take your initial Nexus armband. And well, we'll see.
That's cool. That's cool. But yeah, you know, I'm getting old, I guess, because it's very loose. It's very loose. Back in WWE, I was probably 10 pounds heavier. So I guess with my age, 11 years later, I'm getting old. So this armband is quite loose.
I think you're doing all right. So when you look back at the Nexus debut, it's still a topic of conversation among wrestling fans. How do you feel a decade later that moment and that faction has aged and what is its legacy in wrestling?
You know, fans, I get it all the time. I wish WWE would have done more with the Nexus. I get it all the time. And my answer to every one of the fans is I'm happy that I was actually a part of the Nexus. You know what I mean? I was on the original season of NXT, and to have the opportunity to make history with my Nexus brothers, who we're still in contact with through a text thread, means the world to me. And those are memories I'll never forget. I'll never forget, but I have to keep it moving. And I remember back in May of this year, WWE reached out to me about doing the Nexus documentary. And I said, sure, absolutely, no problem. 10 years, 11 years later, you want to talk about it? Let's do it. And I remember showing up and I planned this out. I'm going to show up with my New Japan track jacket on. And as soon as we started rolling, the interview was like, oh, do you mind taking off your New Japan jacket? I said, look, I've worked hard for this jacket. New Japan Strong is my home now. And you guys recently inducted Jushin Liger into the Hall of Fame. And a couple of weeks ago, I had talked to John Laurinaitis about a possible collaboration he was telling me about between New Japan and WWE. So in this interview, this uncut, uncensored Nexus documentary, let me just be me, because I'm proud of the moves and the strides that I'm making in professional wrestling, opening doors for so many. And I'm very prideful. I'm very prideful. You know, 10, 11 years later, you want to talk about the Nexus? Well, I'm not washed up anymore. I'm not one of those, you know, I'm not hating on anyone, but I'm not a veteran. I'm not an old timer talking about the old days. I'm active. You know what I mean? So it meant the world to me to say, no, I'm not taking off this jacket. This means the world to me. And I remember the interviewer saying, after I gave him the 411 in a nice way, he said, you know what, you're right, keep it on. And eventually they just shelved it. And I feel like the reason they shelved it was because when I asked at the time who else they had interviewed for this, they had told me Wade Barrett and Daniel Bryan, who Wade Barrett said Daniel Bryan is not considered in the actual Nexus. And that's our leader, Wade Barrett, Stu Bennett, saying that Daniel Bryan was not actually in the Nexus. But WWE had interviewed those two. And I guess with Daniel Bryan moving on, they just shelved the documentary. I'm like, why are you doing this? Why are you shelving it? You know, you know, why are you letting the fans down? The fans want to hear the stories and all that stuff. And Wade Barrett just wished me a happy birthday on my social media. And I said, Wade, when are we going to get together, the Nexus, and when are we going to have a reunion? Matter of fact, when are we going to get inducted into the Hall of Fame, you know? So all of us, Michael Tarver was saying facts, you know, they were all responding to it. Yeah, we need to be in the Hall of Fame. So I'm putting it out there now, Nexus. I want to have my ring too, just like Titus O'Neil, my partner Titus O'Neil. He's got his Hall of Fame ring. I want to have mine too right now.
I want to talk about Titus in 1 second, but there was something that you brought up in that answer. You mentioned that John Laurinaitis said to you about a potential working relationship with New Japan. Have you heard anything on that? And what would a potential crossover relationship mean to you to be able to maybe have some matches again in WWE?
You know, I have no idea. I just remember John Laurinaitis, when he took over again with WWE Talent Relations, he contacted me because he was the guy that hired me. He called me to just see how things were going. And I said, Johnny, everything's going great. I'm doing my thing with New Japan. And he said, you know, I did stuff with All Japan. I said, yeah, I definitely know you did stuff with All Japan. So again, Johnny, I'm just making moves and everything. And then he said, yeah, you know, that's great. We're actually talking to New Japan about a possible collaboration. And I just left it at that. I said, cool. And I just left it at that because I didn't want to publicly say anything. But it is what it is. Like I said, my lane is New Japan, and the more eyes I can put on New Japan strong, the better.
Advocacy is a big part of your journey, and Titus O'Neil, let's talk about him first. Titus O'Neil is somebody that is certainly ingrained in advocacy and charity work. How special has it been to view his path and just how mainstream he has become with how charitable he is? And people are finally recognizing the contributions that he has made.
You know, when I first met Titus in the middle of 2009, I remember when he first came in, and a week or so into his training, he had gotten to a locker room scuffle with another wrestler. His name was Lennox McEnroe. And I said to myself, when I saw this, because I'm a quiet guy backstage, I'm just quiet, I said to myself, I'm staying far, far away from Titus. And fast forward to his training, I was always the first one there and the last one to leave working with the big man. And there would be times where people who had wrestling experience were kind of jealous of Titus because he went from the football field straight to wrestling. He didn't do the independents like me. But I didn't care about him not doing the independence. I wanted to help him out because that's just my nature. So I was helping him out with all the basics in the ring, working with him. And then fast forward to us hanging out backstage and just a man seeing the liking in us and then putting us together. And then ultimately John Laurinaitis, when he was on television, brought us into SmackDown, and the rest was history. Titus, I always say, was the businessman. He had the hookup with the hotels. He had the hookup with all of the football facilities that we trained at. I was the guy that did all the driving. I was the guy that was able to put our stories together. And the one thing I learned about Titus is closed mouths don't get fed. And the most intimidating thing about Vince McMahon, you want to hear this, is his office door. Once you get through his office door, the sky's the limit. And that's the most intimidating thing for people. But for Titus, he would just barge in. And I would be like, oh, Titus, let's have a game plan first, because he's going to be doing all the yapping and I'm just going to be just standing there. I said, let's have a game plan first. But there would be times when we'd bust in there and all that stuff. And sometimes we'd get what we want. You know, closed mouths don't get fed. And that's what Vince wants. He wants people that are... I remember him saying in promo class years ago, nervous people don't draw money, you know? And that's true. Nervous people don't draw money. And there's a different kind of nervous. Nervous people, I get nervous before my matches, you know? But it's a good nervous. But nervous people, if you're scared to fall on your face, Vince said, don't be afraid to make a fool of yourself. And that's something that I live by every day now that I'm able to be myself. So with Titus, I learned a lot from him, and that was one of them, that, you know, you gotta you got to make moves, you know? And then that's how I got comfortable with Vince McMahon. Ultimately, fast forward into my career to work with Bob Backlund and propose the idea of working with Bob Backlund because of Titus being so aggressive with Vince McMahon.
You talked about being yourself, and being your authentic self is a topic that we've delved into here on One-on-One with John Alba. We had Ashley Vox on recently, who's been tearing it up in MLW Ring of Honor. And we had a conversation about the importance of LGBTQ representation in pro wrestling. And I was thinking about it afterwards, Fred. I don't know if that's a conversation you'd be having in wrestling interviews a decade ago. You become one of the faces of that movement, making the brave decision to come out publicly during your time in WWE. How have you noticed the landscape has changed since then? And how do you look back on the role that you may have played in that?
Representation is key. And I'm not the first and I'm not the last, but I'm someone who came out publicly while still signed to WWE. And I think happiness is key. You know, I was at the top of my career, I felt like, when I was with WWE, but I wasn't myself. When I was with the Nexus, I wasn't comfortable on the mic. I tell people that all the time. I wasn't comfortable in general because I was hiding. I was closeted. And once I was able to be myself on and unlock once I was able to unlock the door of the impossible opportunities that I could have, I was myself. I was doing some of my best work. So representation is key. And my fight is always much more bigger than in the ring. It's outside of the ring. And like I said, I don't just talk the talk. I walk the walk too. So before the pandemic, I was speaking to kids all over the world about the effects of bullying and my block hate movement and sharing my story. So that's why I always say, don't die with the story and you tell it. And I won't stop sharing. Because I always say, once you decide to come out publicly and you're an athlete and you're a public figure, you have now a duty to instill confidence in our youth and to lead by example. And I remember I didn't think my story was a big deal until, of all people, the icon Cher had reached out to me. And she reached out to me and said, because of her hearing my story, one of her friends was a big wrestling fan, came out to his family. So it was that minute that I realized that my story was a big deal. So like I said, I don't post on my social media for the thousands that might hate on it. I post for that one person that is inspired, that is motivated to just follow their dreams. You know what I mean? And for me, I got matched. My biggest honor, I always say, is getting match of the year for New Japan Strong in 2020 with Tom Lawler, because I didn't get match of the year because I was gay. I got match of the year because I'm not to toot my own horn, but I'm good at what I do. And with WWE, I was a good hand, you know what I mean? And I feel like I had a lot more to offer, and New Japan has given me that platform.
Well, you were a good hand, but maybe just one day you'll get that WWE Hall of Fame induction with the Nexus. I think it might mean a lot to you. And listen, your story is great, man. I got chills when you just said that thing about the fan with Cher, because it's so crazy to see how powerful one voice can be for one person. And you never know what someone's going through. So being your authentic self is just so important. Have you noticed that there's been a change in locker rooms across pro wrestling in the past decade or so, as far as acceptance of people being themselves?
Well, one thing's for sure, I'm not nervous to walk into a locker room. You know, if they don't know you personally, don't take it personal. So if I would be more hurt if someone knew me personally and didn't respect me for who I was. But if someone, if another wrestler or a fan that's never met me or doesn't know me, hates on me, well, I don't take it personal. When I show up to wrestle, I'm there to perform. I'm there to get the W. And I always say, instead of people worrying about what I do behind closed doors, they should worry about what their wife or their significant other is doing behind closed doors. Don't worry about me, because I'm perfectly fine. So for me, just coming out, I'm able to just be myself, and just, I can be as feminine as I want, and I can be as tough as I want. So I can just be me at the end of the day.
I think that's a lesson that a lot of people can take away. But I always ask this question as well to wrap things up here on One-on-One. What is something you would like people to take away from your journey and be able to implement within their own lives?
Whether you're part of the LGBTQ community or an ally, support is everything. You know, reaching out to one another, just checking in on people, you know, Moxley. I always say about Moxley, you know, we were always cordial to one another, but he's the type of guy that if I was in a bar with him and he got into a scuffle, I would be back to back with him, defending him tooth and nail. You know, I love Moxley, I love Renee, and he supported me when I came out. You know, I remember, you know, when we were in WWE together, he'd always compliment a lot of stuff I would do in the ring that was different. You know, different. That means he was watching. So just whether it's an ally or someone in the LGBTQ community, support is key. You know, support is key. And I would say in this world, we all receive hate for various reasons. But in order to be strong and successful, you got to block the hate. You got to tune out the hate, tune out the noise, and, you know, block the hate, which is the equality sign for all.
Inspirational stuff there from Fred Rosser, Mr. No Days Off. He's coming to San Jose November 13th, November 15th in Riverside and New Japan Strong. You can find it every single week. He's just tearing it up right now. It's very fun to see you reinventing yourself and getting to have matches that I'm sure you're just having a blast with. Anything else you'd like to say here? I can't thank you enough for coming on.
No, thank you for the opportunity. I say daily, and I repeat myself a lot. Maybe I always say CTE, CTE, but it's a joke. It's a joke. I repeat myself a lot. Thank you for allowing me to share my story. I always say don't die with the story and you tell it. My Twitter, Instagram, at Real Fred Rosser, my government name, not Darren Young, at Real Fred Rosser. I say it all the time. Be a part of my family. If you don't have anyone that supports you during the holidays, Thanksgiving, Christmas, be a part of my family on social media. Just as much as I look up to The Rock, Denzel Washington, Matthew McConaughey, Will Smith, just as much as I look up to those guys on social media, I can only imagine how many people look up to me for inspiration. So everyone keep on rocking and rolling. If you don't have anyone in your family that supports you, be a part of my family again on social media at Real Fred Rosser.
Stand up guy, and he's looking to be standing up over Filthy Tom Lawler's body as the new open weight champion in New Japan. It's very exciting to see your journey, Fred, and I'm even more excited myself to see what is to come. Appreciate your time, and we appreciate you tuning in here to One-on-One with John Alba on adfreeshows.com. Again, make sure you subscribe. It's dropping every single Thursday, early access, and Saturdays on AFS on YouTube.com. We will see you next time here on One-on-One.